Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio by Ali Moreno. Not quite the same excitement, was it, that we saw from the Champions League last week as Real Madrid and Manchester City advanced today. Here to reflect on those two games, we welcome to the show Frank Leboeuf, Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. We'll start in Madrid. Zinedine Zidane's side cruised in the end to the quarterfinals. A 3-1 victory over Atalanta. Benzema, Sergio Ramos and Asensio getting the goals. Craig, overall, Real Madrid didn't even have to be at their best today.
No, it was a walk in the park in the end until the end. Look, file this in the drawer that says more second-rate performances from Italian teams in Europe's elite competition this season, and spare me the Lazio are still alive, because Bayern Munich could have won that game with one leg and a blindfold on. So, you know, you throw in Juventus and how poor they were. You throw in Inter Milan finishing bottom of their group, not even making the Europa League. And yeah, maybe that will save them in terms of winning Serie A. But we're talking about the Champions League here. And then little old Atalanta, who had a great opportunity, albeit being 1-0 down, to go away from home to a team that have not been great, to a team that had to make changes, and they were limp until the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So, yeah, Real Madrid, Dan, I don't think they'll win this competition because I don't think they're good enough this season. Might be wrong, but they've won a watch on this occasion.
Yeah, they certainly have, because this game wasn't at the Bernabeu. It was at an empty Valdebebas. It's a Real Madrid team who, let's not forget, have lost to Shakhtar in the group stages, who've looked poor this season. Yet Atalanta looked beaten before they even started this game.
They look like a team that didn't quite belong in the competition, that knew it was going to be difficult, and so therefore they just kind of said, you know what, this is Real Madrid. It's almost as if they were playing against the ghost of Real Madrid, against Butragueño and Ronaldo and Hugo Sanchez and Schuster and all these historic names that have gone through Real Madrid. None of those guys were playing today. Yeah. And this version of Real Madrid, even today, underwhelming. It's Karim Benzema and everybody else, and yet Atalanta never played the game that they should have been playing, which is about transition, which is about open play, trying to challenge him behind. It was all control from Toni Kroos and Luka Modric. They dictated the pace of the game. Real Madrid crowded the midfield, played with the back 3-5 through the midfield, and Atalanta were never able to stretch their legs, nor they were able to press Real Madrid, force mistakes, trying to go in transition themselves. In fact, I would say that if you look at the transition game, it was all Vinicius was the one that was providing that for Real Madrid. They were the team that were actually getting into space, and he could have scored and should have scored a couple of goals himself, draws a penalty. Karim Benzema scores again. Mistake from Sportiello, the goalkeeper from Atalanta, really put Atalanta in a really uncomfortable position. But overall, you just look at Atalanta and says, Is this a team that's supposed to be fun to watch, that are exciting to watch, that can score goals, are fun? They didn't look like that until the last 15 minutes of the game when they were desperate.
That first half, everything about the first half was in slow motion, pretty much, Frank. But if you're Atalanta going into this tie, surely that's the time that you press Real Madrid, that you try and put pressure on this team that has shown it has faults.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, they did everything Real Madrid wanted them to do, playing slow. No imagination, nothing, you know, passionate in the way. Well, I don't know if they were intimidated by playing against Real Madrid. They've been in that competition for a long time now, and they should know playing against big teams. I don't know. Maybe we have to find excuses to them because of what Real presented today. Ramos went back. He wasn't on the top, but he's still the boss, and it shows that Real Madrid is different with him. Benzema was on fire. Vinicius, Ali just mentioned, I think on the left side, did everything he wanted. Even Vasquez on the right side. So we have to congratulate Real Madrid. I know, trying to find why Atlanta wasn't good enough. I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it was a bad day, a non-day for them. But maybe we have to find some positive things from Real instead of trying to find some negative things from Atalanta.
Just going against your point slightly there, Frank. Craig, I suppose Italians will argue, well, look at Atalanta. They're a small club. They haven't got a big wage bill. There's no reason why you should expect them to compete with the likes of Real Madrid.
Italians will tell you every excuse in the book. The bottom line, the teams in Europe this year in the Champions League have been garbage. And that's fact. So I couldn't give two hoots about any of the complaints of the morning. In fact, we could go back to another deja vu scenario from a week or two ago, because they could have went down to 10 men, you know, when the Vinicius penalty kick, because he gives a penalty kick, and I know it doesn't really matter, but there's a double jeopardy scenario about not sending a player off when he makes a clear attempt to play the ball, which he didn't, because he made an attempt with his left foot, which was horrendous, and then clearly tripped Vinicius with his right foot. So there should be no excuses here. Atalanta had an opportunity. We know they have a lower budget than almost all the big teams around Europe. We understand that. But they've got some good players. They can cause teams problems. And as Ali said, there was an opportunity to go and do that. And you don't get many opportunities. But this is the time within some of the teams in Spain that there are an opportunity to go there and maybe cause what you would call an upset. But we're at the group we're at the knockout stages, so they deserve to be there. And they were flat and they didn't take that opportunity, and they may not get another.
Shaka, just take us into the psyche of players playing teams like Real Madrid, because clearly it had an effect today.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I think that's the most surprising thing, especially when you think about what we saw from Atalanta all of last season, including in this competition, and we have seen from them in most of Serie A, that they aren't intimidated by the big clubs. And yes, they are a small Italian outfit, and you know, it will take something special, you think, or something unusual for them to get the better of Real Madrid. But you don't ever, or you certainly haven't seen Atalanta be as limp as they were today. And the amazing thing for me is, as this game kind of progressed, especially in the early exchanges, I couldn't help but wonder if Atalanta came there looking for a 1-0 result to take it into extra time and maybe penalty kicks, which goes against everything about Atalanta that we've seen for the last couple of seasons. And in the end, they had one chance early on. I can't remember who it fell to. Maybe we're having a different discussion. But other than that, it was amazingly disappointing from a team that has shown so much, that they just go against their own DNA and in the end go out to the competition with an absolute whimper.
No surprise, Karim Benzema on the score sheet. Frank, of course, a player who has just exceeded all expectations. Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo leaving, Bale, Hazard were supposed to be the ones that would come in and get the goals. But in the end, it's been Benzema, which always leads me to the question, as a man in France, how he is regarded by the French, Frank.
Karim Benzema is named by, I think, all French people who know football as the best striker that we have so far. Even if we can consider that maybe Mbappe can be a striker, which I think is not. Martial, and you can compare with so many others, Giroud, Coman, who can play on the left side. I think Benzema should be in with the national team if he didn't have any problem with Didier Deschamps. And I think he would never be back to the national team until Didier Deschamps decide to resign. But that player is absolutely fantastic. I mean, he was serving Ronaldo when Ronaldo was at Real Madrid, and he took over. He's a vice captain. He knows the house. He plays well. He scores well. He serves the others. He's always in the right spot. I mean, the 1-2 that he did with Vinicius was absolutely fantastic before he scored his goal. I mean, that guy is absolutely, you know, he's great. He's simply great.
We're going to talk a little later on in the show, Craig, about Manchester City being favourites and who can compete with them. And really, when you look at the teams that have qualified, Real Madrid aren't in that conversation. However, the experience of Toni Kroos and Luka Modric shown once again, and with Benzema, Sergio Ramos, their spine of the team have been there and done that. Could that experience in the end help them over the line?
I mean, Man City are favourite with the bookies, but we could all sit and debate about the strengths and weaknesses of City. Mm. They've shown it domestically. We could talk about, you know, a Bayern ahead of them, we're a PSG. But I don't think there's a doubt at the moment that Real Madrid are just slightly off that pace. And, you know, but I would never, I'm loath to rule them out for several reasons. Well, I mean, in 2011, I think it was, Chelsea were completely outplayed most of the way through the latter stages from Barcelona and others. And they went to a final with Bayern Munich and they won it. I mean, it was one of the big surprises. There's been others. So, no, I for all those reasons that you mentioned, Dan, and just on the conversation that you had there with Frank, with Benzema, whose consistency has been scary, then you're always going to get a chance. you're always going to have an opportunity with the talent that they have. So, yeah, they're absolutely, as my camera goes for a little wander, they're absolutely in the mix, but I don't think they're going to win it. Get off this shot.
Oh, I was hoping it would reveal something naughty. You know what I'm saying? But it is... And we've seen this before with Real Madrid, this opportunity for these sort of players to step up in the Champions League. But I think even the most optimistic Real Madrid fan will look at this and just think that's a step too far for them to bridge, isn't it?
It may be. But what you look at if you're a Real Madrid fan, and the thing that you have to hang on to is we have to have Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, and Casemiro all healthy, all playing well. That midfield three, if they control the game, it gives an opportunity for Real Madrid to stay in games, to be able to compete against even better opposition than what they face today. Casemiro will clean up whatever happens behind Luka Modric and Toni Kroos. When Luka Modric goes on the attack and joins in the attack, it makes his team even better. So you just talked about the spine. Thibaut Courtois, Varane, Sergio Ramos, the midfield three I just mentioned, and Karim Benzema. That in itself... it's very competitive. It's among the best in the world. It's the other parts. So you need to have a Vinicius that not only runs with the ball and creates a chance, but puts the chance away. You need something positive and impactful from Eden Hazard. Good luck with that. Because, first of all, he's got to get on the field. So those are the things that you're depending upon in trying to have Real Madrid be the best team. Can they be competitive? Of course. Do any of these teams really want to face Real Madrid? Not really, even if it is this version of Real Madrid, because of the players that I just mentioned. On their best day, Real Madrid will give a game. But their bad days, which have been a lot of them this season, can be really, really bad as well.
A lot more, by the way, on the future of Cristiano Ronaldo and about whether or not he will return to Real Madrid on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to go over to the website and download that now.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Manchester City cruise through to the quarterfinals, 4-0 on aggregate, 2-0 on the night, beating Borussia Mönchengladbach, Kevin De Bruyne and Ilkay Gundogan with the goals. Shaka, you're on assignment to focus on this match. What do you have to report?
I have to report that I think I can break into the Mönchengladbach starting 11 right now as a central midfielder. That's how bad Borussia Mönchengladbach are. Wow. Listen, I understand
this is
a team that had a decent start to the season, but have been awful for the last couple of months. But in all honesty, this was men against boys, and Manchester City, as impressive as they were, I'm not sure what you take away. They just looked head and shoulders above Mönchengladbach in every single department. The only surprise maybe in that the formation, again Guardiola going to no striker. Aside from that, I mean, they didn't miss a beat. Edison had one save to make off a deflected effort early on. Apart from that, I can barely remember him touching the ball. This really was far more one-sided than even the scoreline suggests.
What sort of midfielder would you be, Shaka?
Oh, box to box.
I'm a ball controlling and passer of the ball, Dan.
Yes.
I like myself. I think I'm a Pavel Nedved type of midfielder.
Wow.
That's how I see myself.
Oh, love to see Shaka in flowing blonde locks. Wow. I think that'd be beautiful.
What?
Ali, Ballon d'Or.
We had this game on as well, Ali. It had an almost FA Cup third round feel to it. It was just like nothing.
Not even.
For the round of 16 of the Champions League.
It was a scrimmage.
Nowhere near.
It was a training scrimmage. It really was. And as we're watching both games and you're paying attention to the Real Madrid game, and then you go to watch the Manchester City game, you go, wait a minute, is that Phil Foden running free again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Riyad Mahrez running free again.
Yeah.
Gundogan getting behind and finishing the chance. And really, Manchester City could have done whatever they wanted in this game, and there were no answer from Mönchengladbach. It's just two different levels, and to be quite honest with you...
Nice goal from De Bruyne.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And it's a guy that needs to score more goals. So as good a player as he is...
You say he's rubbish?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's a nice ball. Very well taken. As that ball's coming across his body, not easy to hit it with the left foot the manner in which he did and control the way he did. It was great.
Who would score more goals from midfield? Xhaka or De Bruyne?
Well, according to Xhaka, he's a box-to-box midfielder.
Frank, you take a look at the odds as to who will win the Champions League. No surprise who the top two are, Manchester City and Bayern Munich. PSG coming in third. For you, who's your money on, Frank? All that World Cup money?
All in Bayern. I'm very sorry with the bookies,
really?
But I don't understand why Manchester City can be in the first spot. You know, since the loss against Manchester United... I have my feeling about them, you know, winning the Champions League dropped dramatically in a way that, you know, in their head at some point, they have kind of a complex of inferiority from some clubs, like Manchester United maybe, but maybe other clubs and when they're going to reach the semi-final and the final. I don't know, something went wrong there, and it made me thought that that in that case, they can't win the Champions League if they're not very strong in their heads. And I know that Bayern are very strong in their head. And I think they're going to win again the Champions League.
Do you agree, Xhaka?
I'm not as convinced as Frank is with all question. And listen, I understand you have that blip against Manchester United, but everything you've seen from City other than that has been simply fantastic. And again, regardless of who they call on, what formation Guardiola uses, Manchester City have been seemingly unstoppable. At the same time, you've also seen Bayern Munich have some blips themselves over recent weeks. They've saved their best football for the Champions League. I still think City are favourites, only just over Bayern Munich, but I give City the nod.
Ali, quickly.
City. Manchester City over Bayern Munich.
Just a reminder, you can check out plenty more discussion over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
After a six-year absence, Zlatan Ibrahimovic will once again be donning the Swedish shirt. He will be returning to his national side. He announced it on Twitter, saying the return of the God.
Oh.
It's a bit tiring now, isn't it? Anyway. Frank. I'm just wondering if you were part of that Swedish team that helped your team qualify for the Euros. Is this something you welcome or feel your nose is put out of joint a little bit?
Well, I guess if you're the striker of Sweden, you're not very happy with the situation, especially if you scored goals and you had a big impact, you know. But Ibra is back and... I mean, how can you deny Ibra? If you're Swedish, everybody's going to be happy. It's why Anderson came to Milan to talk to him. He's a tremendous player, and you cannot deny that he's going to be a plus for your country. If you are just part of the team, of the squad, you're just happy to see Ibra back. I mean, he has an influence in the dressing room, of course on the field, and he has an impact, and he's going to score goals. And I'm very confident that he's going to bring something special to this country.
Xhaka, I'm just intrigued by the dynamic of the team. You know, there's a real collective around this Swedish side. You work together to qualify. And then you've got this figure that's coming in who calls himself God, who we know is a bit of a bully. Like, how does that upset the apple cart, if indeed it does?
I think it does. I think if you're sitting in that dressing room, given everything that Sweden have been through in terms of qualifying, and there's no real star, certainly nowhere near the level of Zlatan Ibrahimovic in that dressing room. Yet you go through the qualifiers, you qualify for the Euros, and then Zlatan, 5 years after retiring, announces that he's back. And a phrase that Gab Marcotti likes to use is, Zlatan takes up all the oxygen in the room. And I feel that affects that dressing room. So whereas 99 times out of 100, the best player for your country, in your country's history, coming back in, I think, is welcomed. I think just because of Zlatan's personality and who the rest of the Sweden squad is, I think it has a negative effect. Added to that, Zlatan is 39. After the Euros, in a couple of months, he turns 40. How much longer is he going to be around for? So if you're in that dressing room, you have a player, as good as he is, not involved in the qualifiers, comes in, plays in the Euros, and then, with every likelihood, retires right after. I don't see how you're thrilled about that at all.
Venezuela qualify for the World Cup uh-huh. the first time ever.
Uh-huh.
Now, all of a sudden, uh-huh. I know Sweden will qualify for big tournaments, but all of a sudden, uh-huh. a Zlatan-esque figure joins the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you welcome this addition, this quality, or do you resent this?
I don't think I resent it so long as this godlike figure that walks into the locker room is actually willing to be part of the group as just one more guy. And that is the part that I doubt, that Zlatan comes in and says, hey, I'm just here to add value. I'm just here to bring my skill set to try to help this team win a game. That's all I'm trying to here to do, trying to make us better. You know that Zlatan walks in there and it's like, yep. Gentlemen, things have changed.
Right.
I am here. God is here. That attitude doesn't add value. That attitude doesn't enhance the team. And that attitude, in fact, I think hinders what has been a team that has become better because of the sum of the parts, not because of the individual.
Am I being harsh here, Frank, in that it just doesn't taste right? I suppose if you're a winner and if you want to win, then it doesn't matter.
I understand what Shaka and Ali express, and I think they're right. But the answer will come very quickly. You know, whether it's wrong or right. You know, if Zlatan comes in, and scores, nobody's going to talk about it, and there won't be any debates because he's better than anybody else. Mm. He has, of course, a character, and you cannot deny that. And again. If Anderson, you know, it happened to France, and Aimé Jacquet came to see Cantona at Manchester for 98, for the World Cup in 98. He said to Cantona, I need a striker. But you have to know that Zidane and Djorkaeff will be playing. Right. So you will have to play as a striker. Do you want to play as a striker? He said no. He didn't go. I think Anderson talked to Zlatan.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, there's no Zidane.
The discussion was about.
For that for Sweden.
Yeah, no, but maybe he said, you know what? You will have to play with him and with that and with him at front, and you will have to make sure that. I don't know if they discussed about that.
Sure.
Or maybe say, no, please come back. You know, we need him. We need you desperately. I don't think he said that because he qualified. So I guess they had an agreement. We don't know the terms of the agreement, but I think he talked to the coach, and they would deal with that. But again, if Zlatan doesn't score the first goal, the second goal, it would be a mistake. If it scores, that would be a solution.
How did that work out in 98, Frank? I forget.
I don't know. I forgot as well.
Every show you crowbar it in somehow. Yeah. Just a reminder, you can download.
That was a very good example. I was using
that
an example
beautiful.
To convince
beautiful,
you
Frank.
That maybe... Yeah, okay. All right. Stop talking.
Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast where Frank will bring up the World Cup daily. Fair
what?
Not.
98, you mean?
98, baby. You can download it over on the website. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Big result for Bournemouth today, defeating Swansea. The Cherries remain seventh, but are now just 2 points adrift of Barnsley in sixth for the playoffs. Meanwhile, wasted opportunity for Swansea. They're 3 points adrift of that automatic promotion spot, which is currently held by Watford. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll be reflecting on that big game between Atletico and Chelsea. Until then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali with me here in the studio. We also welcome Frank from Paris, Shaka from his house. Once again, dressing up for the occasion. Thanks, Shank. Let's start, shall we? With has Hazard been the worst transfer that they can recall? And who in the past have they said the same about and why? Transfers.
Is this for Shaka?
Shaka Hislop to FC Dallas didn't work out very well.
Not very well, not at all.
No, that was
but not nearly as expensive.
No, 6 months.
Because see, they thought they were buying a goalkeeper, but instead they got a box-to-box midfielder, as Shaka said.
Yeah, that's
he
it.
Would be.
Yeah, exactly. Shaka got his green card and then that
he
was it.
He out of position.
It was done.
Then he got caught on by me and that really was.
Yep.
The death nail.
Worst transfers, Frank. Who are we thinking? Shevchenko,
well,
when he went
past
to Chelsea. That was a disaster.
Or maybe Torres,
yes.
I would say.
Yeah,
Torres, when he came to Chelsea. I think he's even worse than Shevchenko. Shevchenko was predictable. He was almost at the end of his career. Torres was on fire at Liverpool and came to Chelsea. And they didn't work. But in my time, we had Sutton as well.
Right.
And Denis Suarez was saying, did we keep the coupon? Did we keep the coupon? Because
wow.
We have to sell him back. You know, it didn't work for him. It worked at Celtics after, but it worked before at Blackburn, but it didn't work with us. It can happen. And it's true that for Hazard, it's a big problem.
Frank, what's it like for someone when say you bring in a Chris Sutton, first few training sessions, couple of bad matches, how quickly does it take the squad to look around to each other and go, what is this?
Well, in that particular point, we had Gudjohnsen, we had Torre André Flo, we had Gianfranco Zola around him. So I guess they compensated, you know, not too bad. We were feeling sorry for him, a bit sad. Because, you know, it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, we know what's gonna happen in his head. And it happened. I think, yeah, we felt quite sorry for him.
So that's not what you want.
No,
you don't want pity. Yeah,
you'd rather them be angry at you than pity you.
Yeah.
I mean, the pity treatment does not work.
No.
Cassano to Real Madrid was
Antonio Cassano was there when that happened. A lot of excitement over him.
Then he
found Buddha, which was his nightclub and restaurant as well. Yeah. So he went there a lot.
I'm sure he was more in the nightclub part of than the restaurant part.
No, he got a bit chubby as well.
Okay, well, Hazard came in chubby to begin
with. No, but you think, like, Michael Owen went to Real Madrid, didn't quite work out as people were expecting, but I suppose he got a few goals, wasn't too much money.
Yeah, and honestly, when you think about what the player was at the time before going to Real Madrid and what he became at Real Madrid, Kaká. yes. from being yeah. the World Player of the Year to then just kind of playing a bit part, injuries, what have you, and then essentially walking out the back door.
Xhaka, a name that always pops up is Varane as well, making that move to Manchester United that never really worked.
Alexis Sanchez at Manchester United is also one that jumps out. Yeah. Philippe Coutinho to Barcelona. There's a few.
Yeah. Our producer says she's had enough of that. Right.
Okay, all right.
Frank, who is your favourite young talent in Europe's top five leagues?
Defensively, Fofana from Leicester. Absolutely fantastic, 20 years old. And at front, Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah.
He's really a beast. And I see a great future for him. Of course, I want to add Mbappe, because Mbappe is also absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I want to name others, you know. But Fofana, great. Haaland, fantastic.
Yep. Why doesn't Harry Kane, Ali, get any criticism for his extremely dirty foul on Gabriel, but everyone is questioning whether or whether the foul in the box is a penalty still? This is Kane late on, obviously, barging Gabriel.
First of all, and in any league, you have favourite sons.
Right. And yeah. We saw that with Ronaldo at the weekend, yes, on the goalkeeper.
Yes. When you consider who the favourite son may be in the Premier League, one of the names that will come up and should come up is Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And so therefore, as in any league's favourite sons, they're going to be protected.
Right.
Whether the referees mean to do so or not, it's almost in the back of their minds. Oh, it's Harry Kane.
Okay.
You get special treatment.
Right.
So
he's not that sort of player.
And he's not that sort of guy.
So if it's Luis Suarez, for example.
If it was Diego Costa, red card.
Right.
Right away.
Yeah.
So, but because of the image of Harry Kane, it's clean, it's a pretty boy, it's a golden child, and of course, he didn't mean it.
Yeah.
There was no intent there. No intent there, nothing to see here.
Frank, do you think refs were harsher on you because you were French?
No, because I was French, because I didn't have a face of a favorite son, you know. That's it. And I was yelling at referees, and most of the time I deserve my yellow cards and my red cards, so no complaint about that, and I'm very proud of it. But it's true, and I agree with Ali, some players are protected.
Yeah.
Are protected because of what they represent. And it's the case for Harry Kane, I'm sure.
Yeah, Shaq, do you agree? You must have seen it. Maybe English players were given a little more leeway.
Absolutely. Back in our day, and Frank will attest to this, because I think he broke Frank's nose a couple of times, Alan Shearer got similar type treatment or leniency from referees. Oh, a lot of people complained about that. As a teammate, I was all right with it.
High fives. Right, where are we going with this? Frank, listen. Do you have any explanation for why France, a country so rich, doesn't have more powerful and respective clubs comparatively? Why Ligue 1 doesn't compete with the other best leagues? Is there any historical reason?
It's more a money reason in a way that we, you know, our tax reasons, where the tax are very, very high. When you want to hire somebody from overseas, the money that it will cost a double comparing to England with the tax you're going to pay in terms of transfer, but also in terms of salary, of wages. So if you want to pay somebody 50 million, it's going to cost you 100 million.
Right.
The difference is huge, and it's why you don't have the players you want to have. For Paris Saint-Germain, it's different because behind that club, you have a big country. We're able to pay for crazy things. You know what? They decided lately because of the problem that Di Maria and Marquinhos had, you know, where their house were burglarized. They decided to put for every players a security guy, in front of their houses, and the club is paying for that.
Wow!
So it's a different club, it's a different system, But in France, no, we have good clubs. Lyon is a good club. Lille is a good club. They have money, but they don't have money, of course, of Chelsea, Manchester City, others and other clubs. We can't compete. It's impossible.
So, Frank, you pay 50% tax. Is that why we see you go to Luxembourg a lot?
yeah, I'm going to Luxembourg to see my daughter. That's not the reason why. But I pay more than 50%. When I was a football player, I was paying like around 75%.
You're paying 75% tax? Yeah.
Not anymore, because I earn less than what I used to learn.
Right.
But I'm more than 50, for sure.
Wow. And what about Qatar? That was tax-free?
That's why I'm gonna...
Was Qatar tax-free?
That was tax-free. Yes! Tax-free because there was an agreement between Qatar and France. That's why I went there.
Frank, you told me that you went there to help boost the football community.
Well.
Now, that's not me. That's Marcel Desailly who said that. Me, I went there for the money. I swear, I went there for the money. And I'm proud of it.
Oh, my God. 70%.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's
a lot.
Goodness me. Woo. At least you didn't get divorced, Frank. That would cost you more. Okay.
Yeah, Don't come into that. Come to Don.
And the mood has changed. That's a mood changer.
He's going to kill me. He's going to get deservedly so. Okay, where are we? Shaka, was there ever a time you were in goal during a penalty shootout and you knew that an opponent was going to score on you for the win? Every time.
All the time.
Oh dear. This is from Mrs. Shaka Hislop.
And I knew somebody was going to score?
Yes.
Right. All the time?
Yep.
No, you kind of think you're gonna save everything, right? Until it goes in.
Okay. Final question.
Oh man.
We know what the answer for Frank is from this, especially in Qatar. Uh-huh. What's the one thing you really miss from your playing days?
Oh. Hey.
A little bit of that. Like something like 20% of that, you know? Yes. Like 20%, yeah. Like to be like everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
I like the feeling when you come in and you see the fans and the stands.
Yeah.
And when you score a goal, what comes inside your core, it's absolutely fantastic.
I bet. Yeah. Ali, that feeling must be impossible to replicate.
So it's a couple of things. The locker room, the environment of the locker room.
A good locker room.
Good locker room, yeah. The environment of the locker room, when you know you're winning, when the feeling is so positive and the energy is such that you love coming to training every day. And I think the anticipation of going on the field. You're right there, all 22 players, referees, you're about to go on and you feel the energy of the stadium. And I think the best feeling in the world is once you scored a goal.
Right.
And if you scored a goal in a significant moment, even better, that in itself is an emotion that cannot be replicated, nor any contract can guarantee either.
Does that affect you in latter life?
What do you mean?
Like going like psychologically here, uh-huh. You're never going to have that feeling again.
Right.
Does that play on your mind at all?
Well, it's difficult once it's over.
Yeah.
We were having the conversation off air as to when you're no longer a player and you're no longer VIP and you become part of society, if you will,
yeah.
Then now you have to wait in line for stuff.
Yes.
Then now...
Not if you're Frank LeBeuf. Frank sends his server.
Well, yeah, but it's...
What's wrong with you today? You know? And the thing, you know, you see the empty glass.
Right.
You know, of course we won't have that feeling anymore. Mm. But we had the chance to get that feeling.
Sure.
To,
no, I completely. I understand that. But there aren't many career. It, there know, aren't but, many other people who like away from professional football, yeah. Normal people who like have a high and they never get to experience that again.
Yeah, and it's there are some players that have a tough adjustment after they retire because they're chasing that high.
Well, exactly. Divorce.
all sorts of different things that do come up because you're chasing something that you're never going to get anymore.
Yeah.
I know that you're somebody talking about Frank here, so I'll just let you address that with Frank directly.
Shaka, are you still chasing
that
Shaka
high? Shaka never had the feeling of scoring a goal.
No, but you had a feeling of keeping a clean sheet at the World Cup.
That's not the same. Remember that, Dan?
Well, I can't hit because Frank's interrupting. Rude. Say again, Shaq.
Sorry, I was saying I also had that wonderful assist away at Spurs.
Oh yeah. So how do you replicate that high in your daily life now, Shaq? Just kicking the ball.
I'm not sure I ever can. One of the things I'd like to add to the list, I remember very early in my career, one of the senior players at Reading said, there's nothing quite like winning an away game. And to add to what the boys were saying, that's something I found, you know, during my years as well. There's few feelings in the game as good as that bus ride home or whatever it is after you've won on the road. You know, you go onto somebody's patch and take all 3 points. That's also something that I miss.
And conversely, if you got hammered, destroyed away from home,
right,
that bus ride or that fly home, it's a very lonely place too.
I bet.
That is a
especially if it's you that's made the mistake.
So yeah, more than likely Shaka let a goal in.
Yes, or four.
Or four. They took a penalty kick. He knew they were gonna score.
Yeah.
And you know how it is.
Okay. I think that's should we give the last word to Frank?
Sure, why
last
not?
Last word to you, Frank, on today's extra time.
No. I was very happy that you were on my back today for the whole show long, you know. But I will get my revenge very soon.
Well,
you know.
I look forward to that.
Will it be tax-free or definitely heavily taxed?
That's the IRS. Hello. Lovely to see you.
It's all right. Yes. I'm going to call them. Yeah.
We're all off to Luxembourg. Don't worry. That is it. ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. We'll learn the two remaining places of the Champions League quarterfinals. Uh-huh. One will be Bayern Munich, but will it be Chelsea or Atletico
Madrid? The drama.
Join us to find out.
What?